Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in, the one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Picture it. Louisville, 1990. My grandmother, I describe her as both like amazing and unique, but also just like your standard Southern country ass granny. Like, she was 5 foot even. Like, I've seen her kill mice with her hands. She was fearless. She was not afraid of anything. One of her favorite things to do, she used to keep a pocket knife in her pocket at all times, like a really dull, rusty pocket knife. And when she was kind of just like, you know, relaxing for the evening, she would take her foot and either put it on a dining room chair or just like kind of cross it over her own leg and use the pocket knife to saw off the calluses. Such a normal sight for my grandma to be, you know, just half watching TV, half sawing her foot off with the pocket knife. What makes a person like that happy? What makes a person like that laugh? The only times I can remember her like laughing out loud at something that was not gossip or gossip was in Living Color, and it was this sketch in particular.
Hello, I'm Blaine Edwards.
And I'm Antoine Mayweather.
And welcome to Men on Films, the show that looks at movies
from a male point of view.
It was Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer. It's a sketch called Men on ... where these two very stereotypically gay black men would just like review things. They'd review books, they'd review films, they'd review sports. And I don't know what it was about those sketches, but they just tickled her to death.
Then there's Ghost. You know, Patrick Swayze was the real standout in this film. You know, I'd breathe life into his spirit any day. Even if I did have to go through Whoopi Goldberg. Perish the thought.
Yes, indeed.
And she had this little giggle, and she would go like that. It's a memory that I think about a lot. There are so few memories I have about my grandmother. So few of them I feel like are of her just like sitting and laughing at something joyous because it's fun and because it's funny, you know, because it tickled her. And it means even more that she was laughing at something that was so black. So this memory of my grandmother, which I attached to the show, is only one of many, many reasons that I love In Living Color, but it's probably my favorite one.
Beyonce? You look like Luther Vandross.
Oh, but make it fashion.
But you ain't heard that from me.
Fierce.
Calm. Can't stop.
You see, when you do clownery, the clown comes back to bite.
I ain't gonna sleep because of y'all.
It's Britney, bitch.
Y'all not gonna get no sleep
because
of me.
But I ain't wanna go.
Who said that? Welcome to Back Issue, a weekly podcast that revisits formative moments,
people,
shows,
songs,
and basically whatever else we want to discuss in pop culture.
Each week, we're going to go back into the past and revisit unforgettable moments that we all think we remember, and we're going to learn what they can teach us about where we are right now. And Tracy, that story about your grandma is making me feel like we should dive deep into everything.
Hi, girl, I'm Bonita Bottrell. I know everybody in this neighborhood.
Let me show you.
Eddie, Johnny, Kid, Bright Boy. It's a big world out there. What's in a name?
I'm Tracy Clayton.
And I'm Josh Quinn.
So, Josh.
Yep.
I know that we are both around the same age.
Mm-hmm.
We both clearly share a section of the same brain, because that's where we keep all of our pop culture references.
Come on, Venn diagram brain.
All the part where it like meets in the middle. Yes.
Exactly.
But, you know, I also realize that I am a woman of a certain age, and I know that that is not the particular age that you are. So what I'm trying to ask is, does your little young ass remember In Living Color?
You know how, like, if you have a home video of you as a child, right, and you've seen this home video so many times that you're not really sure whether you remember it or you remember, like, your family telling you about it?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about In Living Color. I was so young when it came out. I don't know if I remember.
I was going to say, so it sounds like In Living Color for you is a potentially implanted false memory.
The actual sketches, I know them because me and my family like reference them all the time. Me and my friends reference them all the time. But it's just crazy because of how embedded in culture it is.
Oh, yeah.
I might not have seen it the first time that it was on, but I know who Fire Marshal Bill is. Like, I know who Oswald Bates is. I know who Bonita Bottrell is. Like, I don't know whether I remember seeing it or like I just have been told about it so many times that it's implanted this sort of like fake false memory in my head.
Right. And also, I can't tell if I'm just biased and love the show, so I can only see it in this one particular light. But we're in luck because later on, we are going to talk to somebody who was actually there in the middle of it all, who worked on it, who made it real. Tommy Davidson. Oh, Josh, I know that you're a newly inducted member of the Hamilton Hive, so you might like this. You ready? He was in the room where it happened.
Hey!
Welcome to the family. It's so nice for you to be here. But before we even do all that, I have a fun little game.
Uh-oh.
I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun if I win. If I don't win, this is the worst fucking idea I've ever had.
Okay, what is it? What is it?
Okay, you know that game, 6 Degrees of, what was it, Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, Kevin Bacon. Separation from Kevin Bacon, I think.
Yeah, let's do that, but with In Living Color.
Okay.
6 degrees of In Living Color.
Okay.
So we'll take a name, and you got to trace it back to In Living Color. Some kind of how, like the writers or like the musical acts or the actors, stuff like that.
Let's do
it. All right.
Okay, ready, Tracy?
No, I'm over here trying to Google names. Just like, I feel like I'm
studying for a test.
No Google,
that's cheating.
I know, that's why I'm trying to do it now, duh.
Okay.
It did not help.
Kenya Moore from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh, dear. If Google was allowed, I could do this because Kenya started as an actress kind of, sort of. She started in like videos and shit, right? Oh, okay. Wait, no. Okay, we can do this.
You got it?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
Okay. Kenya Moore was the first Black Miss USA or Miss America.
Don't get it wrong.
I know. That's why I'm like, which is it? Okay. She was the first Black Miss USA. I'm not out yet. I really hate losing. Okay. So Kenya Moore is on the show. Oh, she's on Real Housewives of Atlanta with Candy Burris.
Okay.
Candy Burris, one of the lead singers of Escape. Group Escape was founded to be a female version of Jodeci.
Okay.
Jodeci was often spoofed on In Living Color.
Hey!
Oh, oh my gosh. I really did not think I was going to be able to do that.
I knew you were going to be able to do it.
Thank you for believing in me when no one else did, because, you know. Okay, this is fun now that I didn't lose. Let's go. Your turn.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
go, Lord.
With R.L. Stine. Dun, dun, dun.
R.L. Stine. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that wrote the Goosebumps series, correct?
Yes, that is correct, which I did not read because I did not like being scared.
I think I got it.
No way.
So R.L. Stine wrote the series Goosebumps, mm-hmm. which Jack Black was in the movie adaptation of.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Black was in School of Rock with Sarah Silverman.
Okay.
Sarah Silverman did blackface and... No, I'm just kidding.
You know what, though? I would accept it. I would accept that shit.
How the hell? Oh, Sarah Silverman was in the movie adaptation of Rent with Idina Menzel, who starred as, like, you know, Let It Go for Disney, where Tommy Davidson is employed
wow.
as the father of wow. the Proud Family.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Woo, that was hard.
I would have given up and quit the whole job if I had to do that. R.L. Stine?
Yeah.
That was hard. I would really love to give a quick timeline, if you will, of the show and why it's so important to America, even if we don't realize it. Is that cool?
Let's do it.
All right. The year is 1990. The specific mm-hmm. day is April 15th. So not only was it tax day, it's also the day that the very first episode of In Living Color aired on Fox. So In Living Color is an ensemble sketch variety improv show, very much like Saturday Night Live. SNL was Matt White, as was the rest of TV, pretty much. Like, we hadn't gotten into the, oh my gosh, the 90s were so black. We haven't gotten to that era of TV yet. You know what I mean? Like, there were shows like The Cosby Show, Fresh Prince, and like a lot of black comedy that were like stories about the black family and like its importance. But In Living Color was very, very different, right? Like, it came from a time when the stand-up comedy scene in New York City is really starting to blow up. It's where you find Eddie Murphy, there's Robert Townsend, there's Keenan Ivory Wayans, who was the creator of In Living Color. There is Robin Harris, who wrote Bebe's Kids, RIP to him.
RIP.
And so this is happening in New York City, but it's happening in like specific clubs in New York City, like the black clubs, because you couldn't go to like the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store or wherever and just get on stage like a funny white person could do. So one of those people that got his start in black comedy clubs was Keenan Ivory Wayans. Keenan Ivory Wayans, tons of brothers and sisters, all talented, all very funny. Keenan's best friend at the time was Robert Townsend, hilarious. They had made movie magic together with Hollywood Shuffle, which we just mentioned, and a movie called I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. You've seen that, right?
Oh, I love that movie.
So good, so funny. And so around this time, Robert Townsend paid for Hollywood Shuffle himself, like credit cards, right out of pocket. And so I think once that happened and once it was so well received, they were like, okay, we can pretty much take over the world. There was a comedy revolution happening, and out of that comedy revolution came...
In Living Color.
Ladies and gentlemen, Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Keenan was intentional about having a multi-ethnic cast, and he basically said we wanted one of each one.
The 3LW approach.
If you will. And you know what? I shall. There were only two white people in the cast. One you may know as a then James Carey, now called Jim Carey, mm-hmm. and a woman named Kelly Caulfield. And that was it. Like, there was just two white people in the cast. And like, I was just like, can you do this? Is this allowed? They pretty much tell Keenan he can do whatever he wants because nobody, I don't know that anybody thought the show was going to become what it became, right?
Mm-hmm.
But took off, blew up to the point that after being on the air for one season in September 1990, they win the Emmy for Outstanding Music, Variety, or Comedy Series. 2 years after that, In Living Color changed the way that the Super Bowl is presented to the world.
Wait, what do you mean?
So glad you asked. So in 1992, In Living Color hosted an alternative to the Super Bowl halftime show, because apparently back then it was one of the most unslappinest things ever. Like, it had just like marching bands nobody knew, Christmas carols, and just like, here is something to happen on the field while you go and pee and get some more snacks, basically. Mm-hmm. So what In Living Color did was they created their own Super Bowl halftime show and urged people to switch over from the real halftime show to their halftime show and actually have some fun, right?
I bet you that the NFL did not like that.
Turns out that they were a wee bit threatened. Would you like to know why?
Why?
It's because In Living Color's halftime show kills it.
Really?
Okay, this is how big that In Living Color halftime show was, right? Mm-hmm. According to Rolling Stone, this is a quote, nearly 29 million viewers tuned in that night, and the Super Bowl's ratings for the second half crashed by 10 whole points.
And I oop.
Right? The and I oopest oop of all.
Damn.
Little black ass In Living Color did that. And so then, once that happened, the NFL was like, no, this is bad. We need to make sure that this does not happen again. Mm-hmm. And they did that by having Michael Jackson come through the next year. And he was the very first celebrity halftime show.
Michael Jackson in 1993?
Exactly. The height of like Michael Jackson mania. That's who they went to because they were that threatened. And Living Color made that big of a splash. And from then on, the shows have gotten bigger. You do remember when Beyonce was the performer and her whole band of badass Black Panther women. In Living Color. You can thank In Living Color for that performance. You just might be a Black Bill Gates in the making.
There was so much good that came from that show. I mean, just the Fly Girls. Like, they opened up every episode with those dance routines. You got J-Lo. You got Rosie Perez. I mean, lots of people got their start on that show. Tracy, what are some of your favorite moments from In Living Color?
Oh, there were so many. So, of course, and this is one that you know, but Nita Betrayal is, you know, your typical, like, hood auntie, we'll say. You know, she always shows up at weddings that she may or may not have been invited to, or funerals that she may or may not have been invited to, or, like, a chili cook-off. And she's just kind of always there. She was wearing this fur coat for some reason, but she still had, like, sponge rollers in her hair. And she would just, like, talk shit about everybody after saying hello to them. Be like, hey, girl, you ain't aged a day. Probably because she got a good plastic surgeon. But I ain't with the gossip, so you ain't heard that from me.
Miss Jenkins is a sterling example of a human being. Hey, Miss Jenkins. She is something else, honey. Just don't let her take her shoes off in your apartment. Feet smell like a dill pickle.
There was such a distinct difference between when she was talking to the audience and when she was talking to the person that she was gossiping about.
Yes.
And I think that's what made it really funny. You would hear her, like, draw out her voice when she was talking to the person across the street and be like, hey, girl, how you doing? And then when she was talking to the audience, she was talking real quick, and you know everything that she was saying right now was actually
exactly
the truth.
Exactly.
The playing of those two rhythms always made me crack up.
Hey, Gigi Tai Tai Roni! How you doing, Tyrone? Oh, Laretha, girl, I hear you hit the number. I bet you you played 10, 34, 43, and 6, right? Girl, you always said those were your lucky numbers.
Unlucky numbers are more like it. Mm-hmm. 10 for how many years her husband been in prison. 34 for how old she says she is. 43 for how old she really is. And 6, that's how many years that dumbass Tyrone been in the third grade. But I ain't one to gossip, so you ain't heard that from me.
And it lends authenticity to the character, right? Like, I feel like if there's a white person writing that character, that might be a nuance they would not get or pick up on.
Right.
But that's why you gotta have black folks at the table, man.
Exactly.
You gotta have that authenticity in it. So she's probably my favorite. I think Benita Betrayal at this point is on my vision board. I want to be the auntie that just kind of like crashes all the weddings and all the parties and is like nice to people. And then I just turn around and talk shit and say whatever I want to say. And just live my life and get all the free food. That's basically what Benita Betrayal did.
Benita Betrayal should be the White House press secretary.
Oh,
Benita Betrayal should be like, so y'all's president said this. You ain't heard it from me, but that's not really the truth. What really happened is, that's what I need from a White House press secretary.
Obviously, Oswald Bates is one. I know that you love to refer to him as T.I. I just put you on blast. I sure did. But it's not a bad comparison.
If I may retain my liquids here for one moment, I'd like to continue the redundance of my quote-unquote intestinal tract. See, because to preclude on the issue of world domination would only circumvent circumcise the revelation that it reflects the aphrodisiac symptoms which now perpetrates the Jericho's activation.
So Oswald Bates is this man played by Damon Wayans. He's in prison and he's always like lecturing you on something, but he's using words that are either not real words or he's using them incorrectly, trying to sound smarter than he is. And I feel like we all know a Negro like that in our own lives.
Indubitably.
Indubitably. Other faves. This wasn't a character that was like as big as like Wanda or Fire Marshal Bill or anything, but I just thought it was so good because it stood out among like these like uproarious and like very outrageous sketches. So the white woman in the cast, her name was Kelly Caulfield, who's an amazing actress. Mm-hmm. She had this character named Velma Mulholland, right? And her whole conceit was she's like this actress from the 40s who's stuck in a 40s movie, right?
Oh my God.
She talks very much like this, you know?
Listen, my man Steve told me a lot about you. He said you're a party girl and you kind of old-fashioned.
Lies, all lies, I tell you. Sure, maybe I hung around with the wrong crowd and skipped Sunday school, but I'm not old man.
No, he said good things about you. He said that, you know, besides you looking good, he said that, you know, you worked at the 5 and 10, got a job ski, and, you know, you like old movies.
Sure, I see a picture show now and again. It helps to pass the time when your heart's been broken in so many pieces it feels as though you'll never see the light of day.
You would have been the dame that walks into like the private dick's office in a 30s movie. Like she's always in black and white and like everything else is in color. She calls everybody Johnny. Oh, Johnny, the last time I saw you went out for a pack of cigarettes and a quart of gin and you never came back. And I'm just like, why is this funny? Like it doesn't fit with anything else, but like it's, I always thought it was so good.
When you look back at these clips, what are you proud of, Tracy? What emotions do you feel?
That's a good question. I am very proud of the women on this show because I feel like it's so old and it's so crusty, but people really feel like women are not funny.
I don't get that.
I'm just like, y'all know terrible people. Clearly we haven't met, first of all, okay?
But also, like, what kind of house did you grow up in? Like, the funniest people in my family are women.
Hands down. And like, I feel like women always get left out of conversations about like who's the best like comedic actor, because then it's like who's the best comedic actress, you know? Just like, I know there were like Tashina Arnold and fucking Tisha Campbell would out act any man any day of the week on some comedy shit, whatever. I mean, like the talent that's in this show, you had Kim Wayans, you had Kelly Caulfield, you had Takiyah Crystal Kima, who you may recognize as the mom on That's So Raven. And they're hilarious. And the thing is, like, a lot of the cast didn't even see themselves as comedic actors. Like, they weren't stand-ups. They had, like, gone to school for, like, quote-unquote serious
acting. Like David Alan Greer.
Same for Takiyah Crystal Kima. And here they are just being, like, hilarious. Funnier than a lot of the men, like, talent-wise especially. You know, like, Takiyah Crystal Kima does so many different impressions. Mm-hmm. Same with Kelly Caulfield. Later on, you had Anne-Marie Johnson. Like, I mean, it's just like, I think that the women really outshone the men a lot of times.
So did you see yourself in the show?
It just felt like this is a part of my life that I recognize. You know, like there was something in that portrayal of blackness, fucked up as it was in several spots, but there was something about like the types of black life they would focus on. I'm just like, oh, I have a reference for that. For example, there was another sketch where they had like the Olympics of church shouting, basically, and like praise dancing.
Wait.
Yes. Yes.
Great. Her sister Rosetta. Next up is a deaconess from Louisville, Kentucky. I don't believe it. She's talking in tongues and she's down.
And she was from Louisville, Kentucky, which is where I'm from. So I'm just like, oh my gosh. What? They know about Louisville? They know about shouting? They know about praise dancing?
Where's the camera at? Are they watching me right now?
Right. Did I write this? I know I'm 8 and I'm just now learning how to do that whole thing. But did I? So I think it's more so that they were like very nuanced parts of Black life that it just felt insidery to me in some points and in some spots, I think. So I think that's where I saw myself.
I felt the same way, except for with one sketch.
Which one's that?
Men On. You know that sketch you were talking about earlier where Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer are like film critics, but like they're blatantly making fun of Black queerness, you know? I didn't have that language then, but that's what they were doing.
Now I'd like to talk about a film I've been anxiously waiting to see, Great Balls of Fire.
I ain't gonna touch it. But the title alone gets two snaps up.
What we were saying in terms of age, like I was really, really, really young. Mm-hmm. But I think I was at a point in my understanding of myself and the understanding of the world around me that I could ascertain that I had something really in common with the characters from Men On. And so whenever they were the punchline of a joke, I also felt like the punchline of a joke to a joke that people around me did not really understand that they were telling, if that makes sense.
It does. That's a very poignant way to put it, too. I definitely get that. And I felt that, but not as strongly, of course, due to my privileges. And, like, there was a handyman sketch, which even then I was like, ugh.
What's the handyman sketch?
So, basically, it was a character of Damon Wayans where he portrayed a stereotypically disabled superhero named Handyman. And, like, he was just like, it wasn't great. It was not great. And I mean, like, of course, comedy ages poorly by virtue of what it is, right? You know, not everything's going to make it to the other side.
To the other side?
You know, not everything is.
Up yonder?
Not everything makes it up yonder. But even knowing that, like, I will say there is some that I just, like, cannot participate in this day and age and was uncomfy with back then, too.
Mm-hmm. So there's sketches like Men On that don't feel good anymore, maybe. They probably didn't age very well. But as our resident In Living Color expert, are there any sketches that you think speak directly to the moment that we're in right now with the reckoning and the uprisings and white people realizing that racism is a thing?
You know, yes. And if you had asked me this question like a month ago before I had read the book that I've been reading, I would have probably said, probably not. But this book reminded me of a sketch that Tommy Davidson, Kelly Caulfield, and Jim Carrey, then known as James Carrey. I'm so tickled that like in the credits he's listed as James Carrey. Like, can you imagine him still being called James?
No.
I'm gonna call him James from here out. So James Carrey plays talk show host.
Okay.
And Kelly Caulfield is an animal expert. You know how they like bring exotic animals to like meet the host or whatever. And Tommy Davidson is the exotic animal. And the animal is a homeboy.
Ooh.
Doesn't sound great. I know. I get it. Now, it is relevant in subject matter.
Uh-huh.
At the end, I'm kind of like, but the message is there.
This is Calvin. He's a homeboy sapien africanus or B-boy, as they're known in the neighborhood.
Wow.
So I spotted lots of relevance in there. There is the explaining of Black culture to white people.
Yeah, it starts off as all of those movies from the early 2000s where it's like, Black people be like, white people be like.
It's very much a fish out of water, like that whole situation. Like, oh my gosh, this new exotic being. The segregation in the world is so much, I've never seen one in real life before.
Is he dangerous?
Well, Alan, like any of God's creations, without love, a proper diet, a decent education, and equal opportunities, he could be extremely dangerous.
He's got a gun!
No, Alan, it's just candy.
The landing of the lines about access to education, housing, healthcare.
Love.
What they're doing is they're... I'm going to sound like Oswald Bates. What they're doing is they're problematizing the white gays. Right?
They're problemifying the two sterility of.
Because most of the comedy at the time was from the white perspective. So they're taking the white perspective of Black people, turning it on its head and making fun of that.
And it's really interesting, like, as I rewatch it, I'm always surprised to find those moments because when I do think about the show, those aren't the moments that, like, stick out to me, you know? But it's always, like, satisfying to see that there were those moments in between all of these other, like, heavy, difficult to consume moments because mm-hmm. it was such a huge show. It did have such a huge platform and a chance to like say something, and they snuck it in there at least a few times. It was in there.
No, it's crazy how relevant that sketch is like today, like still.
Seriously, like you could do the exact same sketch, but substitute Tommy Davidson with Quavo. Same thing.
Yo, just because you live in large with crazy bank and stupid wheels and I'm butt naked don't give you the right to dish. You know what I'm saying?
Pourquoi?
Well, theirs is a rapidly changing language, Alan. There's new terminology almost daily. But as of last Friday, what he said to you was, just because you're rich and he's poor doesn't give you the right to disrespect him.
Speaking of Tommy Davidson, who knew that he had bars like that? I was like, okay, you finna rap? Oh, snap.
Look at you. Bars.
Bars. Oh my gosh, I'm a rapper too.
But I think it would be a really good idea if we could talk to him.
If only we could talk to Tommy Davidson.
Hey, guess what?
We did.
So we wanted to get an insider perspective of what it was like to be a part of the vanguard of Black comedy. What was it like to work at In Living Color? What was it like to see the impact of what In Living Color was doing to the culture? And so we called Tommy Davidson.
And he picked up the phone. God bless.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Is the most important thing you think you learned on In Living Color overall?
The most important thing that I learned on In Living Color is that basically there's nothing I can't do. As long as I apply myself and learn it.
How long into your experience on In Living Color did it take you to learn that lesson?
Basically like the first day. Because the camera came on and I froze.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I froze. And trust me, I was bad then, boy. You know, I was bad. I was ready. I had everything it took, you know? And I froze when that red light came on.
Wow.
So when that red light came on, the realization of where I was, you know, when you way up high, they say, don't look down. I look down.
First thing you do is look down.
Whoa, I'm on the edge of a mountain. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And so Damon came and whispered in my ear. He said, nigga, you came too far. And plus, you deserve it.
Oh, man.
And then I was just like, pow. And it didn't stop from there. So that was the moment where Limitless became a part of me.
See, people just don't know the impact of just being told, hey, you can do something. You can do this. Mm-hmm. You deserve this. Ugh. And as a black woman, I would talk about that forever, but so glad that you had that when you had it, because you make your way onto In Living Color and you gave me some of my favorite characters, characters that I still quote today. I was actually watching Sweet Tooth Jones.
Oh, Sweet Tooth Jones.
Yes.
Karate, protecting your body, sugar bear, lottie. Step to the right.
Hey, like it's all
like
right.
Like it's all right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. How do you come up with your characters?
You know what? It just happens. It's just already there. What I have is something that's a gift that was given to me, and I still don't understand it, but I just write it when it comes.
Can you tell me about the process of you've been working on this impression or this character, and now you have to pitch it, and it has to come out of your head? Like, what was that process like on In Living Color?
That was more of a learned technique. You know, to be able to express your idea and have someone else understand that is work.
Yeah.
It's about focusing that in. But that focus didn't happen because I'm some genius. That focus happened because if you don't do that, it ain't going to get on the show.
That sounds like the most terrifying thing in the world.
Yeah, you had to. You and your writer would come in there and both of you would pitch that thing. And Keenan be sitting there and he'd be like, all right, let me see.
That sounds like so much stress.
It was like being on a long trip with your family. Mm. If it didn't go, it didn't go. If it didn't work, we laugh more at stuff that didn't work.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We tease each other all week.
Yikes.
There was it was a win. It was a win-win. It was a win-win. You were gonna get a laugh one way or the other.
Well, that's good at least. Were there any characters of yours that you were really attached to that did not make it on the show?
No,
that's not what I heard. No. So a little birdie told me that there was once a sketch that you wanted to do. It was Sammy Davis Jr. as Nelson Mandela.
Oh, it didn't make the pilot. They said that they didn't want to put it on the show because Sammy was really sick at the time. You know what I mean? But he's singing all these songs. You know, Sammy is Mandela on Broadway. You know? So it's like, he's going, Mr. Steve Biko. You know, he's singing all these songs. You know what I mean? Whether I'm wrong, no cat's going to bar this ebony star from singing my song.
Oh, my God.
I've got to be me. You know? Yeah, Mr. Steve Biko, you know, and all this stuff. You know, it's amazing. It's exciting, you know.
Oh, my gosh. I was just like, whose brain imagined Sammy Davis Jr. as Nelson Mandela? That is just fantastic to me. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and having to pay rent helps, too.
You know?
Well, yeah, that is a good motivator. It is a fantastic motivator.
Yeah, you know?
Did you have any favorite moments behind the scenes that you can tell us about?
Probably one of the biggest nights was when D-Nice came. D-Nice came, and it was something about D-Nice. He just turned it out. Turned it out! And then Latifah and Money.
Money in the middle.
Where's she at? She's still in the middle.
Money in the middle.
I called her yesterday.
You know what I'm saying? Her and Queen killed that.
I remember that performance.
Yeah, so that those two are the ones that really stick out, you know? Mm-hmm. And of course, me and Jamie's sketch with Tupac.
Hey, man, I'm Tupac, man. Oh, it's all right.
That was the joint.
When you're in the middle of it, did you know how big and important the show was?
Yeah, we did. I'll use a sports analogy.
Okay.
The only people that knew that they were going to win the game between the Patriots and the Eagles were the Eagles. You're not going to beat the Patriots no other way.
You have to know it inside.
But you know it. I got something for your ass. but as a people, we've been like that. We've been like that, just like my great grandmother. You know, she took that stick, pushed that mess out of that pig intestine, finessed it, so I can grow up big and strong.
Okay. There you go. Had to have that chitlin.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Makes your spine strong.
Yeah. So that's what we're made of. We're made of that ingenuity, you know? When The Living Color was on, we were in the place where we needed to express all of the aspects of who we were. So it was welcomed because In Living Color wasn't a black thing all the way. It was just a show with the black perception. What happened was there was just a blending of what was already there, but no one had ever seen it. That's all.
Yeah.
I think another thing that when you're talking about cycles and things that happened then and if they would be okay with happening now, like, I was reading your book, Living in Color.
Mm-hmm.
There was, like, a lot of stuff that you were talking about in terms of how hard it would be for me to, like, work in that environment. Like, I remember you talking about people making fun of pitches and keeping them on the wall and, like, the struggle in terms of coming up against this core group of people that were making all the decisions on the show.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe your perception in terms of how it was to function on that set and get your job done?
You gotta love something to stick in there. You know what I mean? You got to love it, okay? So we loved it.
Mm.
And we didn't care about the repercussions.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So we didn't really care about what the network was gonna do.
Mm.
We just did it. And we also did it. We didn't care what Kenan thought.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah. Well, we did, but he told us, you know, I don't want y'all to hold back nothing now. Y'all go for it. Then after like a season, he was like, y'all gonna get this show canceled, man. Y'all gonna get the show canceled.
Like, well, you had said to not hold nothing back, so.
Yeah, but secretly, he loved it.
There was this paragraph that was in your book that knocked me out. Because you started talking about how all these people that were involved in Living Color and all the things that they went on to do. And it was like, what did y'all not touch?
That's
like,
cool.
It was like, there was like a writer, Sandy Frank, that ended up working on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Right.
Michael Petock, who worked on The Sinbad Show.
Yeah.
Like,
Friends.
Sister.
Yeah.
Kim Poles.
Rosie Perez.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
J-Lo,
like
Living
all of
single.
This.
Ray, Jamie Foxx.
Bernie Mac Show.
You know, what?
So I know you got the opportunity to write this book, but if you had to give somebody a log line or like an elevator pitch of like what the legacy of this show actually is, like what would it be?
Mm-hmm. That it's you. And Living Color is you. That's how I'd log line it. You know, you walk on the moon, float like a balloon. It's never too late. It's never too soon. Take it from me. It's all right to be.
In living color.
Right. Heavy D.
I love it
Heavy
so
D,
much.
Baby. Heavy D.
R.I.P.
Heavy D came
Heavy
out of that
D.
joint, too. Come on.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
That's right. So before we let you go, we have a quick segment
before
that we call.
Before I let go. Boom. Go ahead.
Before I let you go.
Never let you go before I
Now all I want is a barbecue.
With somebody on the grill wearing socks and sandals.
Man,
that's how you know
you
the ribs.
Me? That's the, yeah. Yep.
You gotta have that. Okay. Let me focus. You are too fun and distraction. So, Front Street is a game that we like to play with our guests towards the end where we have a series of questions, right? Nothing too scary. They'll start off kind of easy, then we'll turn up the heat just a little bit. If you would like to pass, you get one pass.
Okay.
And the way to do that is to say the words Taylor Swift.
That's how I pass?
Yeah, it means you get to be excluded from this narrative.
Okay. I love it.
Okay. So we put a little spin on it. We're going to do cast superlatives, right? You all went to In Living Color High School, and it's senior year, you're graduating, it's the yearbook. Who is voted most likely to become president of the United States of America?
Jim Cousy White. Go ahead.
Who's most likely to win an EGOT?
What is that?
It's like when you win Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Oh, yeah? Kim Wayans.
I love that answer. I'm obsessed with Kim Wayans.
Me too.
She has a heart that you can't imagine, man.
She's definitely one of my favorite black comedic actresses. We don't get enough shine.
But you ain't heard that from me.
You ain't heard that from me.
Right. Right. I ain't want to gossip.
Yeah.
Most likely to be on a reality show?
Me.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait.
Most likely to get thrown out of a bar?
What was me? Okay.
Honestly, Simon.
Probably Jamie.
I can see it. I can see it. Most changed from freshman year to the end of the show. Who changed the most?
Me.
Aww.
Most likely to go fight someone in real life because they got in a fight on Twitter.
Oop.
Like turn the location on.
Marlon Wayans.
And
their older brother, Dwayne. And their sister, Elvira.
So all of the Wayans.
No, those three.
Just those three specifically.
They come to get you out.
Okay. We should write that down and remember because I need to know who to not cross. Do you want to know who we voted most likely to sit down with us and absolutely brighten our day?
Yeah, Jamie Foxx.
You. No, it's you.
Oh, thank you, guys. That's really nice.
But before we go, though, I want to let everyone know, like, what you're working on next, where they can find you, what your social media is, that sort of thing.
Okay, the real Tommy Cat, that's IG all the time. I'm working, I launched a new company, which is called One Song. So when I go to do my talk show, just consider doing a network show with me, you two.
Did you just offer us a job?
In this economy?
No, I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
I ain't no fool. It's a great match. Aww. So I know what I see.
Mm-hmm. I'm sending an audio clip of you saying that to my boss as soon as we launch.
Put my name on that too, please.
Okay.
Put my name in that email.
Write that on your heart and roll with it. Ask for the Simpson.
Wait, who is who?
Y'all got to figure that out.
Okay.
It's a fight to the death.
I appreciate it.
Love you guys.
All right.
Love you guys.
Too. Love you too. Thank you so much.
We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
At the end of every episode, we like to take a moment to channel the spirit of Tyra Banks and take her advice. In this segment, Learn Something From This, Tracy and I reflect on what stood out to us today. So, Tracy.
Yeah.
What did we
learn from this?
I learned that none of our favorite shows would exist without In Living Color.
Literally that.
I didn't know how much I was going to learn about like the show and like its significance as like an institution, because I'm just like, I've watched it since it came on. I know everything. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. I did not realize like how far its reach is. And like, it's still happening.
Another thing that all of this has made me think about is the way in which black entertainment can come in waves and be made into a fad. Greg Braxton is a staff writer at the LA Times, and he wrote this article, TV networks pledged to improve diversity in 1999. Will this time be any different? In Living Color was on the cutting edge, one of the like first of this like wave of black television that all of us always look back to so fondly, the UPN era. Mm-hmm. And I think now, given the uprisings and the reckonings, people are feeling a similar sort of pressure. And I'm wondering if it can be sustained and how long it can be sustained.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know?
I feel like if history is any indicator, I think that this is just kind of like the way that change happens over like a really long period of time. Mm-hmm. You know, like there is something not great that happens. Mm-hmm. And then that thing can result in more opportunities for the unfortunate recipients of like whatever the thing was that happened. Mm-hmm. So it's like bit by bit by precious little bit, like mm-hmm. we're getting there. But shit, evolution takes a long ass time, like hundreds of thousands of years and shit. Another thing that I don't know if it's something that I've learned, but a thing that this has really underscored for me is how important creative control is.
Okay.
Ownership of the things that you give birth to and you create. Like, in Living Color, like you said, would not have been what it was if Keenan himself did not have creative control. And it's wild because he kind of had creative control because, like, this is an era where, like, HBO was new and Fox was kind of, like, figuring itself out. So it's not that they didn't care, but they kind of didn't care. And they were kind of like, you know, we'll just do this thing and see what happens. And I know that Keenan described himself as, like, a dictator, like, both on set and, like, in business meetings. And the way that he just insisted on being himself and doing the type of comedy that he wanted to do, even when he was making stuff that wasn't great, you know, things that did not age well at all. Stuff was like really, really hurtful. I think that within that, there's a story of insisting that you be the expert on the thing that you create and that you reap the benefits.
Tyler Perry.
Of the thing that you create. Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry, y'all. So Black people need to own stuff.
They really do.
We really, really do. Also, we need to be, if we don't own shit, we need to be like in the rooms with the people who do own shit because... Mm-hmm. It is 20 damn 20. Solange said we need a seat at the table, and damn it, I dare you to look at Solange and say no. Back Issue is a production of Pineapple Street Studios.
This show is created and hosted by Tracy Clayton
and Josh Gwynn. Our lead producers are Josh Gwynn and Emmanuel Hapsis.
Our managing producer is John Asante.
Our senior editor is Leela Day. Special thanks to Gabrielle Young.
Our associate producer is Alexis Moore. Our executive producers are Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky.
This show features music made by Don Will. You can follow him on all of the things at DJ Don Will. And you can follow me, Tracy, at Broken McPoverty and send me a dollar while you're at it.
And you can follow me, Josh, at Regarding Josh on all the things. Subscribe to this podcast wherever free podcasts are sold. Tell a friend, tell your enemy, tell your entanglement.
Yeah, ooh, getting messy.
Rate and review, you know.
Tell us how that goes, the entanglement.
See you next week.